Father in heaven, we thank you for this fine day, Lord, this fine cool weather. A little respite, Father, from all the heat and humidity, Father. We thank you. And we know, Lord, even for us in this fine weather, we know in the north, there's a lot of cold, lots of snow, perhaps lots of rain in other parts of the world too, up there in the north, Father. We ask that you bless the people nevertheless, Lord, and watch over those that are yours out there, Lord. We thank you for this day now, as we gather together and sit under your feet, Father. Gathering together in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, your only begotten Son, our Lord and our Savior, our Master. We thank you, Lord, for this great love of yours. We thank you for the experience that we have. We ask for your blessing even now, Lord, that you open the word of life to us in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. First of all, let me say that I'm blessed by Brother Leonard Liefest coming last Sunday. He came on Sunday and he brought along with him some books for me. And there were some of them were two or three copies. And I read through some of them. And you know what? Here is what I was so much blessed, because I have been preaching all these years about the standard of God's Word. Where we stand in the truth of God. How we stand upon it. What is our foundation? The importance of the foundation. The importance of the wall. You know, and I said this, that God sends apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers. And yet very few people actually understand this fivefold ministry. And I also said that if people can understand the apostolic ministry, then they will realize the importance. Why God sent that ministry and put it above all these others? Firstly, apostles, as Paul said. And I said this, that God has his apostles scattered throughout the world, but not many. And I don't have to worry about other countries too much, because God sent me only where He wants me to go. And you know, over the years I got to meet different ones, and I see the ministry of Brother John Mark, saw the ministry of Brother Noy down up in the Philippines. I see even Brother Nice now. There are people that come to realize the truth, that are moving around as much as they can to get the standard of God's true word to those that are caught in denominationalism, who are caught up in this cultic spirit. And I said this before, you know, once I was in the States, the first time I would say that when I was in the States, this minister, you know, he asked me, he said, "Brother, well, why don't you go to China?" And he talking to me in front of the whole congregation of his. Brother Puga. So why don't you go to China? Well, the reason why he wanted me to go to China was to get out of Singapore and go to China and leave Singapore to somebody else. That was back in the 70s, you see. Late 70s. And I said, "Brother," I said, "God, he didn't tell me to go to China." Then he said, "Why, don't worry, brother, if it's about money, we can support you and send it to China." In my heart, I was saying, big deal. Nobody sent me to go to any country the thing you want me to go. It is God that sent me. It is not man that sent me. Denomination was sent, the evangelists to go there and now they're detected by a system. So I told him, I says, no, God did not tell me to go. When he said to go, I'll go. No otherwise. You see, the kind of a spirit that man would have to try to get man to go somewhere. You know, everyone have, now you see, over the years that we have in this ministry, you have seen, brother, different minister came over here to minister, share with us, fellowship with us, the word of God, brother Nice, from Nigeria, brother Philip Joseph, and then we have brother Nonoy, brother Israel from Cameroon, and brother Osel from down in Butuan City, you know, and we have brother Richie over from India. I mean, all these are brothers in the faith, and so they came and they just preach. But every one of them, they are independent. When I'm in the Philippines, I told those ministers, I said, hey, look, we don't have headquarters. Our headquarters is in heaven. We don't have a headquarters on earth. Every one of you are independent. I don't tell you what to do. And you don't tell me what to do. But if you know the truth, come back to the word of the Lord. And look at the way God operates by His Spirit. Not that the way we think we should operate. And so you see, like in other parts of the world, everybody is, you see, I have become enemy number one. Brother Leonard is also enemy number one. Okay, because we stand for the truth. The moment you stand for the truth, you'll become the enemy of all those who oppose what you teach. When Jesus came preaching the word, when John the Baptist came preaching the word, they were enemy number one. Every one of them. When Paul came preaching the word, he was also enemy number one. To the Pharisees, to the Sadducees, to all those systems. They cannot accept that. Because they cannot accept the truth. So when I read some of these books, and I said, okay, here was a man right there in Europe, in Belgium. Praise the Lord for him. He went through the same experience that I have been through. And yet, you know, when I wrote my books, when I publish it, and I put it on my website, you will see that I don't mention the name of the minister who was involved with me. Except when they openly do it, then I openly put their name. You know, my brother Leonard, he put the name of the person because he was openly, you know, accused of something. You know, and said that his ministry was not of God and things like that. And he proved from the scripture. And that's the reason why, if anybody said, my ministry is not of God, I'll prove it to him. God's calling of man, God deal with that man. But because the way God dealt with brother Leonard, in dreams, spoke to him, and even the halo upon his head, even there is a pillar of fire on top of his head. You know, when this news leaks out, they will say all kinds of things. And he goes over to Germany. And one man who is called, who feels that he is the leader, he's the only one who is the successor of Brother Branham, said that everything that he experienced has nothing to do with his calling. You know, one thing about it is that Brother Branham said this one thing. And this is where many people in the end time message have a problem understanding it. Brother Branham said it, you have no business behind the pulpit until you met the pillar of fire like Moses did. And so, you see, this man from Germany said, I'm the only one who had it. Who has it? I'm the only one. I'm the one who experienced it. Nobody else did. God spoke to me, called me servant. God spoke to me in an audible voice. The prophet told me, I'm a missionary. And the prophet told me to stop up the food. And everybody else experienced it's not true. Only his is true. You understand what I'm saying? You see, God deal with everybody differently. How God deal with Moses? Different. How God deal with Elijah? Different. How God deal with John the Baptist? Different. How God deal with Peter? Different. From Paul, from the rest. So who is it? What is it for a man? What right has a man to come and tell you your experience is false? Huh? I have my own experience. I have a minister that came up to me one time and said, I mean, he always said that anyway, the hardest. He said, when you said that you hear the voice of God telling you, how did you hear the voice of God? Did you hear God speak to you like I'm speaking to you now on the brain? Or is it because God speaks to you in the heart? If God speaks to you in the heart, it means God did not really speak to you on the brain. So your experience is different. You know, you may forget that God still speaks in the still small voice. And if you cannot listen to the still small voice, if you only want to hear God speaking to you like I'm speaking to you now, audibly, that means you can never understand God. You will never be able to learn the thing that God wants to speak by the Spirit. God deal with your spirit. He's not dealing with your natural ear. God, please speak to me now. Ah, what do you say? I want to hear. I can't hear you. You're not going to die. You know what I mean? You mean to say, God must speak to you. I'm speaking to you. My son, my servant, can you hear me now? Look it up. That is not the kind of voice that the Bible is talking about. Remember Elijah's experience? There was an offering, but God was not there. Is that right? But God is still came to him in a still, small voice. The Bible says, be still and know that I am God. You be still. And God can speak to you. That's how it is. So because of what Brother Branham said, you have no right to be in the pulpit unless you experience the pit of fire that Moses did. Of course, Moses, he was just making a statement. Right? But when you experience the exact experience as Moses, you better go to Mount Sinai. And go and see the pillar, that burning bush there. Huh? That's not the way. God can deal with a man in a dream in many different ways. God dealt with me in dreams. Some people say, if you have not met Jesus Christ, you have no business in the pulpit. Also. Because in the Paul said, I saw Christ, right? Remember that? Like all the other apostles, like the one that Jesus called the disciple, right? They all seen Christ. And Paul said, I see Christ too. And that's what denomination said. There's no more apostles. Yes? Many denominations don't believe that there are apostles existing today. If you know why? Because you see, according to what Paul said, to be an apostle, you must see Christ. Even today, 20th century, Brother Graham, Christ appeared to him how many times? Right? They won't believe it anyway. If you don't know, they don't even understand the scripture. When you see Christ, in what way do you see Christ? Christ will come to you in a dream. Christ will come to you in a vision or anyway. Oh, to many of them, that's not valid. Then what is valid? Validity is this. If a man is called of God, he stands behind a pulpit, if he cannot preach from this word of God, then he's not a preacher. If he doesn't know the word of God, then he's not called of God to preach. Do you understand that? And that's the reason why the man from Germany has so many errors in his writing, in his teaching. And people were confused. Polygamy. And I have from India, at least two or three letters, I can't remember, at least three, I think. I don't know where I still kept it. The complaint is that when so-and-so came and preached to us, my church split into brother again because he preached polygamy. Because my elder wanted to have another wife. So when he took another wife. And then when I talked to him, he denied that he ever preached polygamy. But he believed polygamy was true. And he tried to prove to me, when I showed him the scripture, he was upset. And he said, you don't know the Bible, Mr. Brother Gann. I know this book of what Brother Branham said, marriage and divorce. I read it more than 20 times. I know the revelation that polygamy is true.
I said, brother, I don't know the Bible. Close my eyes. I said, I don't know the Bible. You know a whole lot. You see, the kind of person who is brought on this and has caused the same problem to this brother. You know, and I said, I won't be surprised. You see, so, in one sense of the word, you see, here I am. When God called me up, when we left the denomination, God spoke to me. I raised you up for the ministry to bring up a standard in this part of the world. And that's what we have been doing since 71. And our books have gone out, our tapes have gone out, the website is on, and lots of people now, through email, wrote me, thank you, Brother Gant, for your website. My eyes are open. You know, Sister Piper, Brother Piper came to our website. There's another sister from America who just recently came to our website also. Some from Africa, going to read the testimony. They're all on the website now. The two testimony of a brother and a sister is on our website. You know? So, go take a look. People, how they pray. They say, Lord, I'm lost in this confusion. I go to this church, they say the prophet said this, I go to another church, the prophet said this, and they don't know how to preach from the word of the Lord. And so what they do, they stay home and they say, Lord, help me. I don't want to go to a denomination that preach about the Trinity. They preach themselves a system, a traditional thing. I want the real word of God. And that's why we are living in a last age, brother and sister, that the Bible tells us this is new, this year. People become very lukewarm. They have everything. But Jesus said, you're blind, naked, and you don't even know it. And this are the ones that are praying. And you know what? This is the testify. Have you started to go on the internet? You just do look for it. And every time I go to the internet, look, try to find some website that contains truth. All I get was this forum or that website and probe Brother Branham and make him Brother Branham the absolute, the other one, or you'll be against Brother Branham. The anti-Branham are the systems out there. And he said, oh, I don't know what to do. But one day he said, Brother Gant, I just stopped and here I came across a website. And I said, Lord, thank you. Now I can see now. This person is explaining something that makes sense. You know. You see, here we have this standard rise from this part of Asia. Now you have brought a land of the word there in Europe. I don't know who else up there in Europe. I don't know. We are praying. Pray the Lord do something. And even Brother Nice now wrote me, saying, Brother God, victory at last! Because now we are going to penetrate Congo. Congo is a French-speaking country. It's a country that has so much filled with the men of Germany. You can read the book. That this brother Leonard print up. Oh my, yes, it's true. One man's word is an authority. Like the Pope. Even as brother Leonard said in his testimony, so when I was young, you know, Catholic family, company background, I was young, he's a young boy. And the adult told me, you know, this man, the Pope, he's the only man who talked to God, who God talked to. The only man, and the word he said is God's word. And because when you're young, you believe, you get scared, you know, the Pope. Because after all, he came out dressed very religiously and pompous, and everybody got scared. The fear. You know. But when you grow up, of course, things change, you know and understand things. And so he said the same thing is happening in the end of the message. Every time Luther came back in the Reformation, right? So there you go. In the Reformation. People who follow Luther appear in a denomination, they refuse to move. Then God sent a Carmelite, then all the preacher called Brown and all the others, they came along. And then the Carmelite are they formed the Baptists later on. They preach about immersion in water. Not just sprinkling and throwing water and pouring water. Immersion. Because baptism, the word baptism, is baptism means to immerse. But you know, a lot of churches just sprinkle and pouring water. So the Lutherans said, no, it's okay, we just sprinkle water, will do. You see, God is slowly revealing truth from glory to glory, from one state of glory to another. We must transform as a caterpillar who eats the green of the leaves that he was born in. You keep on molding. You know, right? Metamorphosis. The caterpillar gets bigger each time he can. Before he can get bigger, it will remove its mold. And then he will become bigger until he reaches a state where you stop eating and became a pupa, a cocoon. And then later on, his sleeping state, then transformation into a butterfly. And if you say that you are a butterfly inside you, if you are really born again, then you have to eat the green because you are a caterpillar right now. You're going to move, keep on eating the word of God. And you cannot eat denominational food. You cannot eat all this junk food. Not all in the hawker center, not all in the churches. That's what I'm talking about. You cannot eat all those traditional food because it's not going to help you grow. You know. Turn with me to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 3. That's the prologue, so now we're going to take our text. 1 Timothy chapter 3. I have preached this before. In fact, we touched upon it many times. But I was, after reading one of the books of Brother Leonard, he was touching on it as well. And I think that I'm going to quote him. Get the freedom to quote him. Because you see, sometimes it's just like this. When I say certain thing in a church, every one of you heard it so often, you say, ah, that's Brother Glenn. But I'm not the only one who says so. If God put it in my mouth, he put it in somebody else's mouth, it's servants in other parts of the world. So I'm going to quote him what he said, some of the thing here. Alright, 1 Timothy 3, 14 and 15. These things I write unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly, but if I tarry for long, that thou mayest know how thou ought to behave yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Mm-hmm. See that? You ought to know how to behave yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God. Do you know how to behave yourself in the church of God? Right? I mean, if you're a sinner, you come right in here. I understand you're a sinner. But if you are a believer, and you call yourself a saint, a Christian, then when you come to the house of the Lord, you know how to behave yourself. Now, when we talk about coming to the house of the Lord, behave yourself in the house of the Lord, you're not just talking about gathering only, huh? It means when you are also outside, because you're still a house of God upon this earth. Is that right? That's why sometimes we need to understand this. Now, I'm not saying this or preaching this to get a little preachy, a little trying to hammer you on the head with my Bible or something like that. But, you know, we need to really understand truth, because after all, if we really love the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to do and keep His commandment. Here, you know, not long ago, a couple of years back. But we have fellowship back in the 80s. There was this brother that came and he preached fourfold ministries. He preached a fourfold ministry. When he, preached a fourfold ministry, I told him, I said, brother, you have already spoken your mind. Because he followed the teaching of a man from America. And I told him that teaching is false. The Bible tells you a five-fold ministry, that men tell you a four-fold ministry, and you just grab a four-fold ministry. And you said, because what he teaches, that as long as the church has a pastor, it's under necularity. That's not true. Huh? Because every church has a shepherd. Every church must have a shepherd. The Bible teaches that. you know. Peter, you love me? Yes, Lord, you know I loved you. Right? And then you know what? After all that trial with Peter, testing Peter, and Jesus said to him, when thou art converted, feed my sheep. You know, Peter had been with Jesus Christ for 3.5 years. Right? None of them were converted. You know what conversion is? You know what it is to be converted? You may be sitting right here this morning, and you might not be converted. You might come to church carrying the Bible and say you believe in Jesus Christ, you believe the gospel, you believe the message of Brother Bram, you believe. But you know, many Christians do that, going to churches every Sunday. But they are not converted. They aren't just religious. They think that they are converted. And so was Peter. Lord, you know I love you. Love about me, Peter. Again. Yeah, Lord, you know I love you. You will deny me 3 times, Peter, before the cock crow twice. Not possible. I love you, Lord. I love you. How many of us say, I love you, Lord Jesus? Many of us say that. But are you converted? Are you born again? Have you the baptism of the Holy Spirit? That's why I'm worried for a lot of young people in this church. If you have not had the Holy Spirit, please tell me. Come on Friday. We are going to pray together with you till you get the Holy Ghost. You know, the problem is that we think coming to church is just a thing that we have to do on Sunday. But if you do it on Sunday because you feel that it's just Sunday or some other thing that we have to do on Sunday, that's like getting up in the morning, brush our teeth, examine our teeth, look at our eyes, wash our eyes, and it's just something that we have to do, then don't come to church. Okay. You see, King David says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. I was glad. When you come to church, is it a drag? You know what? God is, do you know something? God is still seeing. Huh? The Bible said, many are called. Yeah, the evangelist, the pastor, preached the gospel. Jesus loved you. Jesus said, you are a sinner, repent, come, accept Jesus Christ as Savior. Thousands will come. Billy Graham's, who say, Paul, what is the other one that came last time? Paul. Hey? Louis Palau. Reinhard Bonnke. Right. Here in Singapore, you have Ronnie Tan and all this. Thousands came. They think that these people are born again. No, my brother. No, my sister, they are not all born again. They are all our religious spirit. You know the survey has been taken in Singapore. That many of those that come to church, go to church, they say that even after 7 years, 20 years, or 30 years down the road, they can turn secular. You can turn secular, you will turn secular. Yes, sir. Why? Because you see, you go to church, it's a novelty. Right? It's a novelty. It's nice to go there, look at girls, look at boys, sing some nice song. And now, what did they give it to you? Disco music. Right? Go and look down at some of these charismatic churches. They give you disco music. Jesus loves me, yeah, yeah, yeah. Jesus loves me, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean, dance is okay. But you know, they put all that disco music and all that drum and all this. You know, not that we cannot use drum or anything like that, but the thing is that they play the music the way that they play it, just like what you hear in the pop world. If we are a people that is not separated or not segregated from the things of the world, from that which influences us, I can tell you, brother and sister, we won't make it into the rapture. I'm not talking about eternal life. You are born again is one thing. But are you ready for the rapture?
You know, there is a song, I don't know who wrote that, that's probably not in the end time message. You know, he said, Lord, I want to make the bride. Help me make the bride. If I ever forget about you, just cause me to remember at least one thing that you have done for me. Or you ever sing this song, you know? I want to make the bride. Help me make the bride, Lord. Of course, everyone wants to make the bride. Everyone wants to make the rapture. The thing is this. The message that God gave us through the prophet, right, is to tell, come back to this word. You see, unless you're clothed with the word of God in purity, right? Because Paul says, I already exposed you, my chaste virgin. Is that right? And Jesus Christ is coming for the bride whose garment is not blemish. Is that right? Not with wrinkles or any stain. What does that mean? Look at the knowledge and the doctrine and all that stuff. So, as a believer, are you converted? Are you converted? And if you are, you come over here. Do you know how to behave yourself? I've been talking about this many times. Some people are upset about what I said. I'm not telling you how to dress. I'm telling you what the Bible says. How to dress. Don't come to church that you are going out there working in the farm or in the backyard of your garden. You know what I'm saying? You think I'm a fussy person? I'm just telling you to respect God. Because you come to the house of the Lord, you must have some senses in you that you are coming into His presence. And all right? You know, if I'm in India, the people that are poor, yes? Those who can afford, they could dress nice to come to. Those are the poor. Even those poor old men, you know, they don't even have the money to buy a razor blade to shave, right? I understand they're poor. They can't be tempted clothing. I understand. I'm in Africa. When I was in a convention for 1 week, I see the same brother wearing the same t-shirt, the same trousers, a t-shirt that was broken and trousers that was broken. And in his pocket were just pieces of paper with one pencil. And he will write down what I am saying. I understand that because they are very poor. That's all that they have. You don't have anything here in Singapore, you have everything. And yet when you come to the church, let us respect God. Get to us, let us come to the house of God, not be unkempt. Is that right? Don't be unkempt. Obviously, when a man marries a woman, marries a bride, wants a bride to dress proper, dress beautiful, don't expect the gown to be spattered with the ketchup or something like that. I believe in the, that's not why the bride always stay in the room until they're ready to go out. And she will not want to drink anything. If you want to drink a cup of coffee, you probably use a long straw. So why did the spell a woman nice? People will look at when it's white, a black thing or red thing, right? It stands out. You know? And obviously the bride comes and the bridegroom says, what happened to your girl? Oh no! Yet you see, we are bride, we come to the house of the Lord. Right? How do we think that Jesus will fail? We come to hell and spiritually, even so, the way we dress. So when the brother, what he did? After they laughed and only that behind my back, start calling brothers and sisters on the phone and start to do all those things. That is not right. But nobody cares. Today, you know why? The reason is that we are human and many of us are still very calm. It is self-preservation, you know? We think about ourselves. I'm right. But the guy's wrong. That brother's wrong. That sister's wrong. I'm right. Self-preservation. You know, when you're wrong, you're wrong. Huh? I'm not coming to a debate with something which is not biblical. You know, with you. If you say the elephant has 10 years, it's okay with you. You know what I mean? And that's not important to me. Just a blind man who feels, and how many blind men they're feeling the elephant? Oh, this is like a war. It's like a war. Everybody's a war. The other one heard a year and said, oh my, he's a big fan. And the other one touched the tail, what did he say? I don't remember what the tail. Okay. So you say, oh, blind. So everybody's right. Somehow in parts. So we know what I've done. The three blind men can go back and find each other and punch each other. And what does it do? But the fact is that when we come to the Scripture is the authority. It's the authority of our faith. Right? So when we come to remember what it is not a social. We are not here for society. It's not a society. It's not a club. You know, that we can satisfy. Yeah? You go to a club, you go to society, right? So you join a club, country club, and complain to the manager, complain to the whatever, and says, no, look here, look, the ten hole in one and all this is not up to standard. Come right in, sister. Come right in. You can go see beside Sister Valley there. So you see, the thing that we have is this. People think the church has a society, a club or someone. And because that's what the churches today are presenting themselves. Right? They have program for the people, male, female, the young people, the old people, and all their program. Correct. Now that's fine, they want a program. But the problem is that it becomes such so much of a club in a society that the real purpose of what the church serves is lost. Right. Now, let me read something here now as I said this. That the quality of the church is important than the quantity. Right? See? Like this man came to me and said, how many people do you have in the fellowship? I said, we're about 20. Oh, okay. And after about, I think, 2-3 years, he came and met me again. He said, how is your church? How big is the church now? I said, still about 20. Still about 20 only. You know, we started our church small. And in 2-3 years, we have 100 now. God is not with you. He told me. You know? I said, oh, how come? Because you're not growing. In quantity, you still remain 20 people. I said, oh, you got 100? I said, yeah. I said, you are not, God's not with you also. He looked at me. He said, God is with the Catholic. They got thousands and thousands and thousands. So what do you only have 100? You know, hey, keep his mouth shut. Huh? I have no problem with that. There are 10 people here, 5 people here, 100 people here, 1,000. I couldn't care less. That is not important. It has to do with quantity. It's the quality. And how many did Jesus have? The 12. And one of them is a devil in the midst of the church. I hope there's no devil here. Right? Sure. You see? And yet, you know, as I said before, on Friday, we share about it. He said, not every one of the disciples, they're all equal. Every one of us are not created equal. Mind you. He said, Lord, it's unfair. Huh? You know what it means by unfair? He's the porter. You are the clay. So don't grumble. Just give yourself to the master's hand, to the porter's hand to shape you. Here we are in the country. We are born here. When I went over to those other countries in Africa, you know, Philippines not so bad now. I can't say about Philippines. Very good already. We have sent a lot of money to the Africa already, to the Philippines. A lot of you come here and take the money to the Philippines. Now, so you're okay now. But in India, Pakistan, some of these places, oh my. You know, my heart goes up to them because they practically eat only corn or rice and beans. That's it. And some little greens. When I was there, just think about it. Here, when Brother Leonard came, I went to stay with Brother Gavin's home, you know, and at night when we came out to eat, to go to Brother Paul's place to eat. And we went upstairs, and I said, Brother Leonard, see all this food shop here? Food store here? There are two of them, two blocks. You know, when you're hungry in the middle of the night, just come down and eat. They're open 24 hours. Oh, very good. very convenient. Yeah. Here in Singapore, 24 hours a day. Huh? Right in the middle of the 3 a.m., 4 a.m., you can find people in a coffee shop eating. In Africa, when it's 7, 8 o'clock, when the sun sets, everything is quiet. Nothing. Only here, when you're in the village, it's a cicada. It was just away. Or you can hear the frog and the bullfrog and the top. And that's all that you hear in the night. You know. Until you get up at 6 a.m. in the morning when all the family gets up and all the noise of a cockery and the clock, clock, clock and all the lot of noise. That's the life there. Here we have the convenience too. Is God fair? It's not whether God fair or not fair. God has plundered a man and got him in and all things that went wrong because he got lost and do all that stuff. And then man began to migrate. Three sons of Noah. Here you are and there you are. And this is the black one here, the brown one there, the yellow one there, the white one in another place. All came from the three sons of Noah. The seed just spread. Cross breed, cross marriage. Right? So it produces all kinds of people now. And that's where the genetic problem comes in. When you have crossbreeding and all that stuff, genes is going to be altered. Either it goes up, good quality, goes down, bad quality, you can born and have a son born out with a big head and die after a few months. Or you can born out with a one who is mentally defective. Don't blame your God. It's the work of sin and that God allows it. Because you see, God is going to have a people. You don't have to worry about the other people. Say, Lord, what about those people? It's none of your business. You think about yourself whether you are saved. If you are converted, then you can do something. As I talked about yesterday, you can talk about the divine love, you can talk about the filial love. What about the agape love? Huh? Can you go out there and see a little doggy so dirty? Wounded, flies and fleas and sting and smell. You probably look at the doggy, many of us did. I did too. You see a doggy like that, you just walk past. You know? But now, you know what? There are people that have very great compassion. When we moved into this new apartment flat 20 odd years ago, there were a lot of stray. My wife went out there, took all the stray home, call the SPC, come take them, give them $100 to just to do whatever they could with the dog. Because we don't want to keep the dog in the house, in the apartment. But we sit here, don't know all the stinky and all the smell and all the dirty, and then scoop it up in your hand. Just like what Brother Branham did. When he drove from the car down the road, he saw that dog there and got out of the car. And the wife sitting down there, Brother Branham, look at the dog with all the fleas and all the wounds there. He picked it up. I'm going to bring you home and clean it. The wife said, you're going to bring it there into the house, into the hot car. And he said, this poor thing has the right to live. That's agape. If you don't have this, God touches you, you wouldn't do that. To scoop it up like that. With the flea and the smell and the sore. Yeah. We all would like to have a nice dog. Hello, puppy, very nice. Try to touch one dirty one. Try to touch a dirty one. Say, hello, you're very nice. Nobody do that. That's the difference between agape love and filial. You see? Would you give a quote? You know, like Richard Wurmbrand, a martyr for Christ in Russia. He was in prison because he preached the gospel. He wrote a book. If that was Christ sitting there, and there was a poor man, cold and shiver, would you give him your quote? If that was Christ, you probably would. But that's not Christ. That's the reason why we don't think about it. You know? You see, there's a whole lot of difference. How do we Christians react? How do we behave? In the house again. So here now, let me say this. I'm going to read not from Bernard Leonard, but I'm going to read from a paragraph from a missionary to Japan. Now this man, well, it's many years ago when I was in the denomination, when I was in the Assemblies of God. You know, I love to read books. I read a lot of books here, whatever can I can. You know, I digest a lot. This is why I want to encourage you to read books. To read. Take a book and read. And don't be surprised, many of you don't even read the book that I wrote to learn what you have heard. And many of you don't even read Brother Branham's book. Because you say, why would you do every day at home? The only thing is to buy a newspaper, you read it. Right? You want to know what happened to the world. But you don't want to know what God is saying about the world, about you and me. So we spend more time on the things of the world rather than in the Word of God. Take the book and read. Not only that, at least your mind will not die. Your brain cell is to be kept alive. Huh? Do you understand? Do you know how much books the Brother Man read? There's a whole library of books there. He studied. You know that? You read Clara Larkin's book? And he has a book, he said, they call it Dialogue, and I have a copy. I don't know where the book goes to now. I couldn't find it. I was trying to look for it in the last few weeks. I couldn't find it in my house. That book was lost. It came back, and 9 after 9 is lost. If he happened to borrow it, I don't know whether he did. Please return it. Now, that's called a Dialogue. Okay? That's a New Testament Bible. But you see, this man here, his name is Melvin. Melvin Fieldhouse. He's a missionary to Japan. You know, when I asked him for whatever he could give it to me, send it to me, because I'm a student and I was studying the Word of God, I want to know whatever you can help to give me. And he sent me a part of his book. You know? And I read them, and my goodness, I fell in love with what he wrote. He was a man that took a stand. I guess Bob Bell was alive when he was back in the 60s, you know, before the 60s. He blasted up against all the systems out there. He blasted up against the ecumenism, the tradition, the organization. And he pointed people back to the Word as well. Now, let me say this, what he wrote here. You know, I want you to listen carefully. With shame and with pain, I recall just one of many incidents which took place here in a missionary prayer meeting in Ori. One younger brother stood up and requested prayer that God might mightily and greatly use a message that he was soon to publish and to pass out among the saints, not sinners, that he will bring glory to God alone and penetrate deeply into the hearts, changing men. But at last, an older missionary who was always bragging about his half century of service, 50 years of service, brag, took a request and prayed like this. Now Lord, may this message be of you and so done in love that not one of your people shall be able to criticize it and not one soul shall be in any way hurt by it. What does it mean? Do you know what the prayer means? This was a young missionary who wrote a book to tell the very truth about the saints. And he knows that their book is telling the truth about their behavior. And this older man, preacher said, oh Lord, you know, so that when they read it, these people read it, don't get hurt by it. If you don't get hurt by truth, then you have not been hurt by God at all. That means you have not received the Word of God. You have never heard the truth of God at all. The Bible says, thou shalt know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And truth hurts. Is that right? Yes, truth hurts. You know, a brother did wrong. Let's say Brother Kagi here did something wrong. I tell him, brother, this is wrong. Of course it hurts him, huh? Oh, I didn't realize, I'm sorry, maybe I shouldn't have done that. He sure hurt him. What do you want me to tell him? If I don't tell him that he's done wrong, what happened? I'm not telling the brother the truth. I mean, it's to say that I'm not my brother's keeper. Am I my brother's keeper? Yes! Are you a brother's keeper? We are all brother's keepers, you know that? We watch out for one another. So if I don't tell him, I'm letting him rot. But I neither can I go up there and pat him on the back. That's okay, that's okay. No, tell the truth. And the truth will set him free. They realize, okay, this is what I've done, I shouldn't have done it. Maybe I overlooked it, maybe I didn't realize it. But you know, we want to grow in grace, we want to grow in the truth of God. Here's what it says. Just as he confused, oh, it is so true. Is it not? That we may rather that people, not God, decide for us whether the thing is of God or not. This is exactly what Brother Lenek experienced. Do we let God tell us that the thing is of God, or you let a man tell you that the thing is of God? Huh? You know what I'm saying? Now here have these people, they say, the Pope. The Pope is the only one to hear from God. He's the only one who is the true servant of God. You let the man tell you so and you believe it so. Or would you let God tell you whether it is so? Follow from the scripture who the Pope is. I know some of you may be careful, you know, I know. You take it out there, and so some people around this thing might come here and take a video and put it on YouTube, and then the government will call me up, hey, you speak against the Pope. And we are Catholic, you know. You're not supposed to do that. It's an anti-Christ spirit. Right? Don't you think so? I mean, it's all on my website. I don't know. If there are people going to hear that bring me to the law, you don't believe in cutting. And they might. And you know what about this tiny little... Well, there was, the technology has grown so much that you have tiny little video camera. You never know who is out there then. Correct? I'm not afraid to die. But I'm afraid not to tell the truth. That's one thing that bothers me. Every time I'm in the night, I come to sleep, my mind floats and think about the church, think about the world, think about how that you brother and sister, whether you're growing the grace or not. You see? Okay, he said further here. You know, what sign that gives it? What sign show God that we might believe? We will decide whether you are God or not. Ha! Huh. That's what the brother over there, the preacher over in Germany. Your dreams, you're hearing from God, it's not true. So he said so, it must be true. Is it what it is? Right? Your experience is your experience, right now. If you said that you heard from God, who am I to say you didn't do? Correct? It's only what God tells you to do, whether you do it or not. If it is of God and you do something that's contrary to me, it's not of God, obviously. You know, I dreamt last night that God said, you must get rebaptized all over again in the name of Father and Holy Ghost. You believe that is true? If I tell you, God spoke to me last night! He told me, rise up! Go and get baptized again in the name of Father and Holy Ghost! Something is wrong. Isn't God to talk to you? You know what talk to you? Is that the devil talk to you, or that you have eaten too much until the food in the tummy talks to you? Yes, you get all these dreams, a strange kind of dream. If you are, we'll decide whether you are God or not. If you are, then we will have nothing to criticize in you. And if you will not hurt us, and you will not hurt us, and that will be the only real proof that you indeed are a man sent from God. So if you are a man sent from God, you will preach things that will not hurt us. That we already know that you are a man of God. You realize how important that is to these people? If you want me to preach the truth, I'll preach the truth. Right? You want to hear truth? Because you are set you free. That's the purpose of the Word of God, is to set men free from denominationalism, from the traditions and rituals, from all this, from the prison. There's only prison in the world that has no bar, no lock and keys. But you are held in there without realizing that you are being a prisoner. And then, is that not true? We feign such a deep love and concern for people. A love which we never yet had for God. Listen to that. Correct? He's talking about hypocrisy of this preacher. Correct? We feign such a deep love and concern for the people. A love which we never had yet had for God. We would not care how we hurt the Son of God and grieve His Spirit by misrepresenting Him with the wrong gospel. Just as long as the people are not hurt in any way in being wrecked from worldly lives. Corrected from simple pursuit and turn away from their iniquity. Do not hurt people, but care not for the fig, for how we hurt the lovely Son of God by that which make Calvary an awful place. Do you know how awful Calvary is? Do you know how awful that place is? And yet we would not want to hurt people. That's the truth. We don't want to tell the truth because we don't want to hurt them. But we want to hurt the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the way we are. That's the way these preachers are. That's the way that you, the same, every one of us, let us consider whether we are converted. Right? How we live the life of Christ. You see, that's no way, you know. Every one of us now, when you are converted, as Brother Leonard said, there's no way to tell you what to dress and how to dress. We don't give you a detail. But the Bible does say this, you should dress right, modestly. And you ought to be, understand yourself what it is to be modest. Modest apparel, the Bible said. What is to be modest? You know? Not just about doctrine. It's also about your life, because doctrine is a living manifestation. Is that right? This is what I believe. Well, brother also used to say, I don't drink water, it's contrary to my doctrine. It's just a joke, you know what I mean? I don't drink cold water, it's contrary to my doctrine. You see, doctrine is what we believe we put into action. If you believe the truth, you put that what you believe into action. Otherwise, that means your doctrine is not true. You have not yet been converted. That's what it is. You understand that? Yeah. Well, Leonard said this. Because often, in the time we are living, we see when there is a problem with the brother in any manner or other. We see the brother get up and leave. He stand by himself, rent a place, build an altar, put his Bible on top, and say, I'm the pastor of the church. I have a congregation. For many, it is like this at the time we are living in. Is that right? And it's not true. That's what we see in Singapore. Here we see in many countries. They left the church. What did they do? Look at all these splits. What did they do? They're no different than the denominationalists. Right? They're no different than those in the denomination. I don't agree with the pastor. I have a problem with him. I've got a problem with that. So he left the church. So he left the church, go back home and build an altar or something and say, no, I'm in control. Come fellowship with me. And he became a pastor. Was he called? No. On Friday we heard the testimony. You know, that's the wrong thing to do. But people are doing that. And you know what, government says, you have no business behind the pulpit unless you have come across the pillar of fire. And you come face to face with the pillar of fire. All the years What vindicate the man that he has been called of God? What vindicate? God will be his vindication. If he has the proof the word of God, if he preached truthfully according to the word of the Lord, God will manifest something. Huh? Right? Now believe what I believe. Remember when I was in Bombay, when my son was young. He was 12 years old. 11, 12, right? Huh? 13 years old. And we were there, and he was there too. She was not married yet. What do you mean? You're not married yet. See, and we eat something out there in this Indian restaurant. Maharishi was there with the wife, and the four of us were eating out of the same, we're all the same thing we eat. And both Indian couples, no problem. And I, my goodness, the following day I have a diarrhea. My son was not even starting yet. But it was only the following day that not only he had diarrhea, but he vomited very badly. I can't remember seeing a person, you ever seen vomit that blows into the wall? He blows into the toilet mirror and everything in the morning. Goodness, I was in one half, and I said, what is this? He was still sleeping, and the toilet was there, and all the underwear was hanging out. He was washing in the night. And then his back, oh my! Both end, this end and that end, everything blow out because it was so volatile. Whatever the poison is in him. One day, 2 days, he cannot eat. He cannot eat, he couldn't eat. Every time he took something out, he comes. 3 nights, 3 days. Every time I preach, I see him go from the back door. From the back, he just go out. He will went out, he will go out and go to the toilet. He keep on going out so often. He was the last one, the third day. When he got around, we prayed for him already. He was given some medication. It wouldn't work. It didn't work. And then Brother Richard and then Brother Hilbert came along and said, Brother, we should send him to a specialist. And this is what I said. I said, my brother, Jesus Christ is my specialist. This will be the last night. If he doesn't get healed by tonight, and tomorrow we'll send him. And it was about 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, so he took a little supper and then he couldn't eat, was watching me eat, and then we went to sleep, and I fed him, he couldn't sleep, I fed him. Why he couldn't sleep, I asked him. He said, I can't, because I lay down, I put my head down, I'm going to throw up. So I fed him to sleep, and then when he slept, I put him down, cover him with this bed sheet, and look at the time. It was 11:40, 11:45. I'm already that time. So I lay down, and it was out like a light. And then in the next few minutes, I met my child. The angel of the Lord came in, woke me up at the foot of my bed. He was standing there. And all I could hear was these three words. Speak the word. And I get up and he said, when you are so tired, you get up. He don't ask stupid question. Who are you? He don't ask that. Huh? You know that the word was from the Lord. He just stood right there and that the presence was there. He said, speak the word. And I just got up, stretched my hand over his tummy and I said, Darius, stop. Vomiting, stop. In Jesus' name. I went back to bed. I usually wake up very late after you preach so long. And I said, I'm going to get up at 8. No, at was it 6 a.m.? I want to see what happened. I didn't have an alarm clock, nothing. But at exactly 6 a.m. I woke up. When I woke up, I look at him. He was there on the bed. So the first thing I do, put my hand under his buttock. Now the American said, or the British said, you cannot say bum. The British said, you must say buttock. And the American said, buttock is not nice, say bum. Bun. Or whatever they want me, I don't know. Just under the bottom. Put my hand there just to see whether it's wet. It's pretty dry. Good. I went to the toilet there, You know, because the spirit was just in front of the toilet, so how you throw, you know. So I went out of the toilet, everything was clean, and there was no underwear. You know, so I went back to bed and said, Lord, I'm going to get up at 8 a.m. So I went back, I was still nearly asleep, 8 a.m. I got up. When I got up, he's not there. When he's not there, I see the bed, hey, very clean, very dry. So I went to the toilet, very clean, everything's clean, dry. Then I went out the door and opened the door. When I opened the door, here came the servant. It is a Methodist lodge, guest house. Here came the man. I said, did you, have you seen my son? Oh, this is what he said. I always remember. Oh, you know, in the Indian, how Indian talk. Oh, your son. You know, he was very sick. You know, many, many days, not eating, but to pay. He already eat big amount. You know. So, I stand there, I stood there, and I said, thank you, Lord. Then after that, he said, and he told me, the sun is up, the roof down, watching the eagle fly. There was all those buzzards and some eaglets or whatever. You know, when later on, my son had this nausea feeling. You know, want to throw up. And I told him, he said, son, you're not going to throw up. And I told him what happened that night. He asked me, he said, Dad, is it true? Did you? The angel of the Lord came and speak to me. I said, yeah, you're not going to throw up. I said, you know why you have this feeling? Because in 3 days you're not be eating, and this morning you eat a whole lot of food there, and the stomach is not happy. So when you're fast, don't eat too much. You feel sick inside. And you never have any diarrhea and any vomiting there. You see, God is real. We declare what truth is and let the Lord take over anyhow He likes. Here another part, let me go and finish now. They only need a little problem. And they separate themselves. Then they would not be a lack of people. Many are carnal. And they run after men without the knowledge of the Word of God. But when we know the things of God, we must know that if we are sons and daughters of God, we have to simply walk with the Lord and be found only where God is found. If God is not there, we cannot be there. Let me tell you one thing. You want to go to all those churches out there? I don't worship God like they have heard that God is there. You know one thing about it? The Bible said, they that worship me must worship me in spirit and in truth. But a lot of people worship God only in spirit. Sure, you call upon the name of the Lord, the presence of God, but then you worship Him in spirit. But they don't have the Word. They don't have the Word, and that's what the problem is. They will continue to be religious. And I said, this man, don't be religious, be spiritual. To know what God is doing. So why would you want to be there when the Word of God is not there? Find a place where you know the Word of God is preached. It should be preached. You don't worry about how many people are in the group. You see, it's about your own life. Is that alright? It's your own life. The Bible said, I'm feeding on the living bread. He didn't say, we are feeding on the living bread. The question is about, am I feeding on the Word of God? You understand? I want to go to a place where there is 1,000 people or 5 people. Jesus had only 12. He preached to 1,000, 2,000, 4,000. And then He told them, let's come along, away from here. Because when He preached to them in parable. So that in hearing, they hear not. That's what Jesus' purpose was. To fulfill the word of Isaiah the prophet. Is that alright? So they said, oh, we understand. No, in hearing, they hear not. But I'm to you. Even the disciples didn't know. So Jesus said, come, let's go away from this crowd of people. Let's sit together, relax, and I'll expound to you. I will expound to you the mystery of the kingdom of God. But you know why the Bible is a mysterious book? It's not a book that every Tom, Dick, and Harry can understand. The Bible is not for every Tom, Dick, and Harry. The Bible are not for sinners out there. They are for God's people. You understand that? It is for God's people. And when you are converted, kill, feed my sheep. If you are not converted, you cannot convert others. When you are converted, then you can tell the people, your friends, you witness to them about the living Christ. Now when they believe, then this book will be for them. Is that right? This is God's love letter. Jesus' love letter to His bride. To His girlfriend. Then when you're called, you become this bride. And they say, here, let me just read to you. If God is not there, we cannot be there. We must be led by the Spirit of God to know if we must go to that church or not. No one has to force you or any family relation or so forth. For you to say, oh, my grandfather, my uncle goes there, so I will go there. No! Do you understand what I'm saying? What did the song go? If my brother don't, if my mother don't go, don't you hinder me. I'm on my way to Canaan's land. If my father don't go, don't you hinder me. If my wife don't go, if my son don't go, my daughter don't go, I'm going. Just because they don't go, I also don't go. I must be foolish. You understand that? I want to make it up there. So what would you want to do? And he said, because the day where your uncle or your grandfather, if he has a role, have been ordained in the church, and he does not fulfill the condition, he will be told, sir, please sit down. If he refuses, what would happen? You will also live with him? There are a lot of people just like that. They want to be a preacher, want to be somebody. No, you listen, sit down and learn. Now, if he leaves, do you want to live with him too? But if it is God who loves you, even your uncle leaves, you will remain attached to the Word of God. Because you know that he was not in agreement with the Word. That's why he leaves. Right? You know what Jesus said, and all the people leaving. Jesus told his disciples, asked him, are you also going to leave? And Peter said, no. Because you are the only one that have the word of eternal life. Right? See, you want to live because people live. The people are always following the crowd blindly. Huh? Right? Very popular in Singapore. You see a whole lot of people there. You're capo. What's out there? You also want to see what's out there. People buying something. It must be good, huh? Let me try too. You're cute. And you can wait for 1 hour. Just to. And then when you eat it, rubbish. And you complain. That's a behavior, humanism. So why do you want to live for the blind? You know, you ever see a crowd of people, whatever they are looking at, you say, what is that? Never mind. Just leave that alone. You know, they're just following the crowd, following the crowd, following the crowd. They still stop. So what do we stand? How do we behave in the house of God? When it comes to the Word? Not talking about the pastor. There's a whole lot of things that come out from this one verse in Scripture. It's not just about doctrine, not just about the elders of the church or the pastor of the church, what they preach. It's about you. How would you behave in the house of God as a believer? Because you are the church. You're part of the church. If what you believe is true, then, brother and sister, you obey what the Word of God said. Nobody will keep on telling you over and over again. You see, but the problem is that in this world today, as I said, self-preservation, vanity sets in. Right? There's a lot of competition. People always want, they care so much about the 5C, 6C or 7C coming up now. More C's are coming up anyway. Everybody just wants to have, just in this life, pressure, get what we want. And we wanted to have, we heard about artificial intelligence. You know AI, right? Artificial intelligence. Just artificial. They are not real. And many people are just behaving like that. Artificial. They act like they're very intelligent. But their manifestation is so stupid. That's what they are. You know how the robot is? Artificial intelligence. But they walk like that. You know how they walk with the door like human? Yeah, they can play, you know, Sonic kick football, the robot kick the football, can serve you, can greet you, right? Artificial intelligence. So this world, many things are artificial. So do you want to be artificial? Do you want to be artificial? No, we don't want to be. So, be as what God you want you to be. Dress right, in the first place. So you don't have to go out there and live two lives. Huh? Be natural. If you are an Angmo, then you are an Angmo. If you are an Oriental, you are an Oriental. But I have seen people are doing all the crazy thing out there. I've seen this man, I don't know, I think what he has is artificial. He's about my age. Hair is black. But up here in front of puff, there's white. Yes. So what he does, of course, he dyes hair all black, maybe he's all white hair, but he dyes all this black, but he only white. A puff of white, puff. Curly puff, you know. You think that is true? It's artificial. And there are people who put their hair white, make them white on stripes. Huh? If it is natural, fine. Looks nice. But you are not, you just go and make it white. You perm it white. You go and dye it white, I mean. The world is crazy. You know, that's all artificial. Okay? That's what I want trying to get to. How to behave yourself in the church of God. They're all just very basic. When you are converted, then you can convert others. Your life is an example. Your testimony is an example. Is that right? God bless you. Father, in Jesus' name we thank you, Lord. There are many things, Father, that could be said. We know, Lord, we're living the last day. And we know, according to thy word, this last age is an age, the light of truth, Father, is almost gone out. But in every age, all these 2,000 years, we know there is a people that are called out and separated unto the very truth of your word for that particular hour. But we are living in the last day where the whole Word of God now is open up to us to understand. And yet, Father, the condition of the church today is still very disappointing. They are gallant men, O Lord. Gallant men that will preach the truth. That the Word of God should be taught the way it should be. And yet, the sheep are not following the word. Father, we know that we all must give an account before your throne. In that day we stand before you. But I pray, Father, for this congregation of mine, that everyone, Father, can truly say that they have experienced true conversion. That they can really say, I'm born again. That they can really say that I have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. For when they are converted, Father, then the doctrines of Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross, that awful place, will truly be manifest in their life. For we know, Father, if the life is not manifesting, the doctrine which you give, the life of that doctrine which you give, then, Father, we are deceiving ourselves. So help us, O Father. For those who are not born again, those who are not truly born, converted, I pray, Father, Lord, they examine themselves and say, Lord, I want the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I want to be truly converted. I want to please my Father in heaven. I know many have been to water baptism in Jesus' name, but that's just the beginning. For many have been baptized, but they are not truly born again. For thou hast said to Peter, repent, be baptized, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Yes, Lord, there came repentance. They were baptized in Jesus' name. But yet, Lord, many has yet to be converted. And I pray, Father, that they have the weakness of thy Spirit, Lord, in them. Whether or not as to them being converted, I pray that, Father, Lord, they seek you. That's all that I ask of you, to guide them to understand this. If they are not born of the Spirit and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, then they are none of His. Asking for your grace today to deal with this situation in everyone's life, Father. Yes, we become hypocrites. In Jesus' name.